The kingdom of God. The establishment of God's kingdom. Scripture reveals that since the creation of man, it has been God's desire to establish a physical kingdom here on earth, governed by himself. This kingdom would thus have been a theocracy, a kingdom over which God himself ruled, in and through man. So although David wrote, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof," Psalm 24:1, and he rules over the universe and all creation in a general sense, and always has done, God also desired to set up a more specific theocratic kingdom. Therefore we see that when God created man in his own image, he gave man total rule and authority over the earth, being subject only to himself, Genesis 1:27-28. This was the first instance of the theocratic kingdom of God on earth. Through Adam's act of high treason, however, Adam forfeited this position by subjecting himself to another master. Satan then gained dominion over man and installed himself as the prince and god of this world. John 14:30 "Hereafter I will not talk much with you," could be translated, "Hereafter I will not have much more time to talk with you," E.S.B., "for the prince of this world, Satan, comes." 2 Corinthians 4:4 "In whom the god of this world, Satan, has blinded the minds of them which believe not." The first instance of God's theocratic kingdom was thus lost. God did not lose his overall rule over the earth and ultimate ownership of it. However, his theocratic kingdom came to an end when Adam handed the rulership of the world system to Satan. God then waited until the timing was right and sent his only begotten Son Jesus into the world so that his kingdom might be set in place. Galatians 4:4 "But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth, brought into the world lawfully, his Son, made of a woman," speaks of the incarnation when God became man, made under the law. Jesus was subject to the Mosaic law and kept it perfectly, so becoming qualified to pay the price for mankind's redemption. John the Baptist announced, as Christ's emissary, that the kingdom of heaven, with Christ as its king, Daniel 7:13 14, was at hand, Matthew 3:1 2. Jesus repeated this same announcement, Matthew 4:17, and then sent out the 12 disciples, Matthew 10:7, and then the 70, Luke 10:1 9, to make the same proclamation. During Jesus' earthly ministry, his message was 1. The declaration of the kingdom, Mark 1:14 15. 2. The declaration of the king, John 8:58, Luke 19:38 40. 3. The rejection of the kingdom, Luke 14:16 24. 4. The rejection of the king, Matthew 20:18 19. Once again, man had the opportunity to belong to a theocratic kingdom. However, as had been prophesied, Israel did not acknowledge Jesus as their Messiah, the Anointed One, and King. Rather, they publicly rejected him, and in so doing, rejected the theocratic kingdom which was offered to them. Then, as the scriptures foretold, he was crucified by the ones he came to save. Reynold Showers writes, "The religious leaders of the nation played the key role in the rejection of Jesus Christ and his offer of the theocratic kingdom. They were very displeased with his miracles, his cleansing of the temple, and the people's response to his ministry, Matthew 21:15, Mark 11:18, they challenged his authority and planned how they could take and kill him, Matthew 21:23, 26-3-5, they paid money for his betrayal, sent a large multitude to take him, sought false witness against him, and pronounced him guilty of death, Matthew 26:14-15, 47, 59, 66. After more deliberation, they sent him to Pilate, accused him before Pilate and Herod, and persuaded a multitude to press Pilate to execute him, Matthew 27:1-2, 12, 20. The what if question. Some people ask the question, what if Israel had believed the gospel of the kingdom and repented when Jesus Christ was here? Would that have jeopardized the necessity of Christ dying for the sins of the world and, therefore, the salvation of human beings? The answers lie in the fact that both the Old Testament and Christ himself foretold Israel's rejection of him and his offer of the theocratic kingdom. His death indicates that these rejections were certainties. Second, even if Israel had believed in the gospel of the kingdom and repented, Christ would have died for the sins of the world. If Israel had believed and repented, the nation would have claimed Christ as its king. The Roman government would have regarded this action as the beginning of a revolt and undoubtedly would have crucified him. Then Christ would have risen from the dead, crushed and removed Satan and his kingdom, including the Roman Empire, and established God's theocratic kingdom on the earth. The Jews not only rejected the kingdom but Jesus' declaration of it as well. God's earthly theocratic kingdom is now postponed until the second advent, the second coming of Jesus Christ. At that time, Jesus will return to the earth and reign here physically for 1,000 years. This period of Christ's future rule is called the millennium, Revelation 24-6. Israel, intended by God to be the chief nation on the earth, will be reinstated as such during the millennium, having finally recognized and accepted the Messiah at his second coming. But Israel's covenant is dispensational or natural, and this period of rulership will cease when the earth is regenerated by fire and God's throne comes to dwell on the earth. Israel, however, has been promised an eternal existence, Isaiah 66:22, and will have David as their prince forever, Ezekiel 37:25. The identity of David is disputed by theologians, but could be King David himself, Ezekiel 34:23. No doubt the eternal existence of the Jews as a separate nation and the eternal bequest of the promised land to the Jews will function to remind the rest of creation and indeed the whole universe that these, the chosen people, acted as the womb of the Messiah so that the Lamb of God could come to bring redemption to all mankind. Amen. So in summary, God was to rule the earth through the first Adam, but he brought an end to this kingdom by his act of treason. God's rule through the second Adam was offered to the Jews and rejected. The millennial kingdom will be God's theocratic kingdom on earth, a kingdom which still contains vast numbers of unsaved human beings, but which is ruled by God through the man Jesus, of necessity with a rod of iron, Revelation 19:15. As we have learned, the theocratic kingdom of God is restricted to the indirect administration of God's rule through a human agent or representative, an Adam. It does not involve God's direct administration of his rule. The theocratic kingdom is restricted just to those times when God has a human agent, an Adam, administering the rule over the entire earth. There are only two such time periods for this present earth, the time between man's creation and fall and the time of the future millennium. After the millennial kingdom, all evil will be dealt with, and God will rule over the earth in a complete and utter way, though still through the man Jesus Christ. The Word of God speaks of three kingdoms: the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, and the kingdom of darkness. The kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. Background reading, Mark 10:13-27. The terms kingdom of God and kingdom of heaven are interchangeable, but can be applied to two totally different contexts. 1. God's rule through Christ on the earth at a physical or dispensational level. The opportunity to establish this physical theocratic kingdom was rejected by the Jews in Jesus' day, but will come to fruition in the millennium. 2. God's rule in the life of believers through Christ brings us into God's spiritual kingdom. When heaven, God's throne, comes to earth, Revelation 6:21 and 22, God will rule over the earth in a complete and utter way, all evil having been removed following the great white throne judgment. At this time, the spiritual kingdom of God and the physical kingdom of God will become one kingdom. The great white throne judgment will take place at the end of the millennium after Satan is loosed for a short season, deceives the nations and is then defeated permanently by God. He will then be cast into the lake of fire, Revelation 20:7-10, which will constitute his eternal abode. The great white throne judgment will involve all those outside Christ from all the ages, and these will come before the throne of God to be judged, Revelation 20:11-15. Hell is the present place of confinement for all wicked and unbelieving mortals, and the punishment meted out on this day by God will be their consignment to the lake of fire, otherwise known as the second death, Revelation 20:14. In this way, all evil will be removed from the earth, for even hell itself will be cast into the lake of fire. The Great White Throne Judgment will take place on a specific day, Matthew 10:15, Matthew 12:36, Acts 17:31, before the throne of God, and each person will be judged according to their works, Revelation 20:12-13, Matthew 12:36. Then the earth will be renovated by fire, 2 Peter 3:10-13, Revelation 21:1, and the throne of God, and heaven, will descend to the earth, Revelation 21 2-4, 10-12. This fiery renovation does not speak of annihilation but rather the passing of the earth from one condition to another, e.s.b. 2 Peter 3:10. The spiritual kingdom of God cannot be seen physically. It had no beginning and will have no ending, for it is eternal. Luke 17:20. The kingdom of God comes not with observation, is not visible to the physical eye. The Jews claimed that when the Messiah came, he would overthrow Rome, etc. Jesus is telling them that their observations are wrong, e.s.b. Luke 17:21. Neither shall they, people, say, lo here. Here it is, comma, or, lo there. There it is, comma, for, behold, the kingdom of God is within you, would have been better translated, the kingdom of God is within your midst, for the kingdom is Jesus. But Israel would not recognize him. The born-again experience brings Christ into the heart and, thereby, places the kingdom of God within the person. E.S.B. Romans 14:17. For the kingdom of God, speaking to Christians, is not meat and drink, in other words, not rules or regulations, but righteousness, and peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit, the fruit of yielded and sincere hearts, saints who are led and empowered by the Holy Spirit. The spiritual kingdom of God can only be entered through spiritual regeneration, by being born from above, as John 3:3 states. John 3:3 Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, born from above, experiences a spiritual birth, he cannot see, know, be acquainted with, experience, the kingdom of God. Dr. Bernard Rossier writes, The Lord's message to mankind basically relates to the kingdom of God. His forerunner, John the Baptist, preached the kingdom of God is at hand, Egekonhi basileia touthou, Mark 1:15, therefore, he told his listeners to repent and believe the gospel. When Jesus began his public ministry, he also said, Repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, Metanit egikon gahi basileia tonou anon, Matthew 4:17. Later, he stated, The kingdom of God is within you, or the kingdom of God is in your midst, he basileia touthou en tos humon estin, Luke 17:21. He was obviously talking about his own presence in their midst and about their need of his governance in their respective lives. Some of the problems in the perception of people about the kingdom of God come from a lack of understanding of the terminology itself. In the Old Testament, several Hebrew words were employed for the term kingdom. Some terms stand for the rule itself, while other ones denote an area over which a king rules. The translators of the Greek Septuagint, on the other hand, used one word for kingdom, basileia, which can mean either the reign itself or the territory ruled. The practice was continued in the writing of the New Testament. Incidentally, the phrases the kingdom of heaven, he basileia tonou anon, and the kingdom of God, he basileia touthou, are used interchangeably in the New Testament. Matthew generally employed the former because Jews reverently avoided the term God, and Matthew apparently addressed his gospel to Jews. The bottom line is that sometimes the New Testament refers to a literal area over which a sovereign would rule, and sometimes it refers to the rule of God within lives. The Jews of Jesus' day were, for the most part, expecting a political Messiah who they thought would lead them in victory over Rome, John 6:15, Acts 1:6-8. However, Jesus made it abundantly clear that he came to rule in the hearts of people, Matthew 6:33, Luke 10:9, Romans 14:17. At the same time, though, he promised to return one day to set up a literal kingdom on this earth, a time which we normally label his millennial reign, Matthew 19:28, Revelation 24-6. Hence, we always have to keep these two aspects of his reign in our minds, the present rule of God within believers and the future physical rule of Christ on earth. In the millennium, the thousand-year reign of Jesus on earth, there will be a physical theocratic kingdom here on earth as God intended. This kingdom will contain millions of natural people who will have come through the tribulation or will be the descendants of those who have. As such, they will still possess the fallen Adamic nature. Thus they will know that Christ is Lord, but will be able to be influenced by Satan when he is loosed at the end of the millennium, Revelation 27. So this kingdom will still contain good and evil, but will be ruled physically by Christ. And as we have said, because it still includes evil, Christ will have to rule this physical kingdom with a rod of iron, Revelation 19:15. These following scriptures pertain to this kingdom and its establishment. Isaiah 9:7, of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David, and upon his kingdom, to order it, and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Zechariah 14:5. And the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints, with Christ to defeat the Antichrist at the battle of Armageddon and to set up the millennial kingdom, with you, him. Zechariah 14:9. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth, in that day shall there be, only, one Lord, and his name, the only, one, recognized and worshipped by men. During the millennium, the glorified saints will reign with Jesus on the earth, Revelation 5:10, Revelation 24:6. They will be given responsibilities and rewards according to their commitment to Jesus and their works of faith and love while in the body of Christ, the Church, on earth. During the millennium there will also be longevity for the people of the earth and great peace and prosperity for all the nations, Isaiah 65:20-25. Christ will reign from Jerusalem, with Israel as the head of all nations, being given the responsibility of evangelism, Isaiah 66:19. Only after the great white throne judgment, after the millennial reign of Christ, however, will all evil be removed from the dispensational kingdom, and God's spiritual and physical kingdom will become one kingdom and will continue eternally. Spiritual beings, angels and glorified saints, together with perfect physical human beings who procreate, will then all populate this new world promised on earth, Revelation 21:1-4. Man will no longer be influenced by spiritual darkness, for God will have completely dealt with all evil and darkness. Voust describes it in these terms: the kingdom of God is defined as God's rule over all moral intelligences willingly subject to his will, including the holy angels, and all believers of all ages. Matthew 13:49. So shall it be at the end of the world, age, i.e., the conclusion of the millennium, the angels shall come forth, and sever, separate, the wicked from among the just, the saints of all the ages. Matthew 13:50. And shall cast them into the furnace of fire, after the great white throne judgment, the unjust will be cast into the lake of fire, Revelation 20:11-15, there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth, speaks of terrible pain, suffering and regret. The kingdom of God is defined as God's rule over all moral intelligences willingly subject to his will, including the holy angels, and all believers of all ages. For further information or teaching material to help you grow in the Christian faith, please visit Crossroads International Full Gospel Ministries, crossroadsministries.org.au.